two things Sue talked about in Sunday school I wanted to say, but was not allowed to interrupt either by her or by God. Somebody stop me. Fortunately, I was able to listen this time. I'm not always able to keep it in. But one is, when Janai was a teenager, God told me one day, she had said since she was a little girl that she was going to have like 12 kids. It sounded cute, whatever, you know. But then when she was a teenager, God said to me, she's going to have 12 kids. And would you be willing to help support them and do whatever it takes for her to be able to have those 12 kids? And I made a decision. When she was a teenager, we lived on 79th Street off Division. And I remember, it's very real to me, I made a decision that that's what we were going to do. So sometimes if it seems like that she's Sue's best friend and they spend all this time together, it's because it's Lord ordered, you know? It's like you do, because we check everything we do. We're willing to stop, even when God tells us to do stuff and we're going into it or we've been doing it, we keep saying, Lord, we're willing to quit doing this. We're willing to do something different. So that's one thing. Two, she brought up the word offended. I'd like you to look at three verses. Do I want them to look at it, Lord? Okay, I'm just going to give you three verses about the word offended. And I want you to, but I want to share one, just talk about one just a little bit. And then I can do what I think I was supposed to do today. The three verses are Psalm 119, verse 165. The next one is Matthew 11:6. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to talk about Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. God showed this verse to me years ago because somebody said to me one time, matter of fact, yeah, might have been Sue. She said, you know, you don't seem to realize when people don't like you. I said, what do you mean? She said, I think if somebody took a rock, a brick is what she said, and wrote on a piece of paper, I hate you, Harvey, and wrapped it around a brick and walked right up and hit you right in the face. She said, when you recovered, you'd pick up that paper and think there must be another Harvey around because you don't realize when people don't like you. She said, even when it's so obvious. And I'm like, something God showed me was that I was like him like that. That he could love us when we don't love him. He can love us when we don't like what he's saying. He can love us when we're giving him the look. He just doesn't quit loving us. And it's like he doesn't take offense. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I find that I don't get offended. I find I do get hurt or grieved, but I don't really, it seems like I get offended through the years. Okay? And I just felt like God wanted me to bring that to your attention. And if you do find yourself getting offended, then number one, meditate on that verse and say, God, your word is true. My feelings may tell me what I feel is true, but your word is always true. My feelings come and go. But your word is always true. And your word says, if I will love your law, then nothing shall offend me. So, Lord, I want to love your law. Teach me how to love your law. Think of the word law there's rules. We don't want rules. That's what I felt like God had me say last week is, I appreciate how this country started. I appreciate a lot of the Declaration. I see God all in it. I'm watching some little short movie things about Declaration of Independence because it's July 4th, you know, that I got off Turner Classic Movies, which is old TV, you know. And I just saw one about Patrick Henry. I know not what you may do, but give me liberty or give me death. You know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, and I'm liking all this and how the Declaration of Independence came about, the last person to be brought in, and George Washington, and all those things excite me. But what's happened when it began with God, but where our country today is at is not with God because we took God out, because we lifted up ourselves. We got lifted up in the power that God gave us. We got lifted up in the success that God gave us. We started becoming independent. We think it's a good thing to be independent. So instead of being like the Asians, or where they will live multiple families in houses, we all have to have our own house, you know? And we're not successful if we don't have our own house. But there's so much pride and rebellion that's prevalent in America. And it affects us because we live here. It's like we're under this umbrella of these Antichrist spirits. That's what I was saying last week. We need to break agreement with that. Because we don't want to be rebels. We don't want to be rebellious. Amen? I mean, really? I know it. I know you're going to get up and walk, right? The reason I pulled up a chair. Hey, last week was hard. I was sitting in Sunday school. I was already struggling because God, has God ever given you a message or, how do I say this, Lord? Okay, I went to Bible college and they taught me one way to preach. And then when I left there, I would preach that way. And then God began teaching me different because I said, Lord, I remember back in 87. And I said to God, why am I getting burned out? My whole life is given to you. Why am I getting burned out? And he said, she's okay. She's okay. She just thought the altar call was sooner. Okay, and it's just so y'all know, you can go to the altar anytime you need to during service, okay? Okay, it's freely open, right? Yeah. I just want to get closer. That's it! That's it! That's it! Now, where was I? Okay. God, why am I burned out? And he said to me, I'd never heard this before. He said, because you're trying to preach out of your reservoir instead of preaching out of your overflow. I'm like, I went to Bible college 9 years. I never don't remember hearing that. He said, they don't know about it. I go, what do you mean? He said, they try to impress people by coming up with alliterated outlines like all A's, all P's. I used to do that all the time, you know. You get done, oh, that's so cool, I can remember it, all these P's, all these A's, you know. 3-point sermon, got a little, you know, story in there, warm, fuzzy, okay, you know. But where's the changed life? Where's the character of Christ? Where's Jesus being seen and desired and wanted and loved and believed on and exalted and worshiped? Where's Jesus being lived? Not, we got a wonderful preacher. Oh, he impresses people. He dresses nice. He talks nice. He doesn't use bad English. He, you know, doesn't hurt people. He never offends anybody. He's all polished. And oh, his sermons, and they're so wonderful. Okay, they may sound good and whatever, but God is about changing our life. God's about changing our life. Not about impressing us. Yesterday, Sue and I have been doing this for a while, but not all that long, but we're not on a diet. We're doing this eating lifestyle change thing, okay, which is really cool because I hate diets. I mean, from the time we got married, she's talked about diet, and it's like, I mean, it seems like all women do. I mean, I hear it all the time. It's like, okay, but diets come and go. It's like fads, you know, bell bottoms or something, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. You know, they're fads, and it's like it's not going to work. You can't live that way. And so we've talked about we want to have a lifestyle change, and so anyway, we're doing that, and each week I'm losing like 2 or 3 pounds, and it just keeps going down. I told her, I said, I don't care if it's only 2 or 3 pounds. Every week I keep losing it, getting less than me. I'm really thankful. You know, I want to be about half the man I am, and or two-thirds man or something. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, really. I mean, soon I got married. I was 125. I know I look like a dress zipper if I turn sideways, suck my tongue out. But I don't need to look a dress zipper. I don't need to look like a bowling ball, you know, in the bag, you know, either. Okay? And I know the Bible says the liberal soul should be made fat. But I might have a different meaning than, you know, get in shape, rounds of shape. Okay, I understand all that. Okay? So, anyway, I've been taught ways to preach, whatever, and then God started teaching me stuff, and that whole thing about preaching out of your overflow, it's like, Harv, why don't you come and hang out with me? Let me talk to you about what you need instead of you coming to me and saying, God, give me something for them. He said, come and find out what you need. It's the whole principle. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, where it says, judge not that you be not judged. You know, don't look at your brother's toothpick in his eye that when you have a telephone pole in your own eye. You know what I'm talking about? Okay? It's that whole principle. Plant up your own backyard before you worry about wrecking somebody else's. And so it's like, Harv, you come hang out with me. Find out what it is I want to give you. That's what's living. That's Rhema. He said, and then what you're living, when you give it to them, it's living. And he said, and you don't have to worry about what to give. I will show you. He said, you know, remember where he talks about you're going to be brought before rulers and kings. And it says, don't meditate what to think, what to say. He says, the Holy Spirit will give you in that hour. So I'm like, okay, Lord. So then I tried doing that. You know, we used to do all these 40 hours study for one sermon stuff. I did that for years and did all that and preached. And that's all good. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. And then it was like, okay, Harv, it didn't matter what I came to the table with because every time I'd get up, he wouldn't use it. You know, I'd start trying to preach my notes and it was like laying an egg, trying to get a kite up off the ground that just wouldn't fly. You know what I'm talking about? And I remember I was preaching at a one-week meeting somewhere, and I'm preaching a sermon for about 5 or 10 minutes. I just could not get this. It was like God's like, that's not what I want you to preach. I said, but God, what you want me to preach is in my other notebook, and it's back at the hotel, and I don't have time. You know, that's what I told him. I thought that would fly. But it didn't. God didn't care if my notes were back there. He had put it in me, but I didn't understand that at the time. And so finally, after about 5 or 10 minutes, I said, I got to quit preaching this because this isn't what God wants to preach. I said, so this is what God wants to preach. I said, I don't have my notes with me, so I'm going to do whatever. And then I preached and God worked through it because we got to do it God's way. Well, that's the reason I got this chair here today, okay? Is because I feel like what God's been telling me for the last maybe 3-4 weeks is I feel like he's been saying, like we're at a cabin, and like there's a fire, you know, and we just got through having a cookout, and we just ate some s'mores or something. If those are my new lifestyle, but anyway, you know, right? But I didn't want to hear that part, and I keep doing whatever my wife tells me. She starts trying to explain all this stuff, and I'm like, look, I don't have to understand. Just tell me what to do. That's all I got to do, and I'll do what you tell me. Well, anyway, so we go walking, and we've been walking, like, I don't know, mile and a half. She's been doing about 5 miles a day or something. I don't know. It's like going crazy. And she'll say, you know, would you like to go? And I'm like, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, but better get this fat flesh up so quit being more of it to outweigh my decisions. You know what I mean? Really? I mean, let's get real. Okay. So I said, okay. She says that to me yesterday. So we get to the place. There's a little park. We go to different parks. There's one over by my house. I don't know what it's called. But anyway, and we walk around this little track. I don't know, but I have to walk in the grass. I like walking in the grass. There's this family there, or several families, Mexican families, and they're at this place we had never noticed. I mean, I would always sit there when I was done doing my walk. So I'll do about 2 or 3 laps, and then I sit, and then Sue does a lap, and then I can get up because my lower back hurts, and then I can do 2 or 3 laps again. So yesterday we were doing that, and all the way around, I kept feeling like God said, I want you to witness to those Mexicans over there. And I'm like, but Lord, I don't want to interrupt them. You know, I heard them ripping off Spanish, and you know, I don't know if they habla English. I mean, I'm telling him this, you know, I don't know if they speak English, you know, and I don't want to interrupt them. And God, I just came here. I'm trying to mind my own business. You know what I mean? But he just keeps giving me that thought. Well, now my back, I've gone as far as I can go. I got to sit down. So I go, and we start walking over there, and my wife goes, and we're near it, and my wife goes, you can't interrupt them. You can't go invade their space, because it was, their whole family had this space, you know. And they said, no, come on over. And it was like, that's it. So we sat down, I sat down, and Sue did her little, kept walking. And I don't know how it happened, but God got loose. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but God got loose. And I got to witness to like 3 or 4 families at one time, and they were just gathering around me, and they don't go to church. At best, one of them, because when I said, do you go to church, I would like pin drop, you looking at each other, and one of them, you know, we're looking down, and one of them goes, well, I go to church. And I go, yeah? And she goes, yeah, sometimes I go to Catholic church. You know, I'm Catholic. We're Catholic. You know, they always say that when we were down in Texas, we're Catholic. That means somebody in their family sometime went to a Catholic church, and maybe they were christened there or whatever it's called as a baby, and now the rest of their life they're Catholic, so they can't be a part of any other religion. And I said, well, that's really good, you know. And I said, but do you know Jesus? And got to witness to him, and I don't know why I'm telling y'all that. Anyway, but let's talk about, oh, I know, because God's telling me, Harp, I want you, it's like you have this family, but they're like, it's like you're my disciples, you know? And it's like I've been feeling like he's saying, you need to sit down, and they're like your kids, and I want you to have a family talk with them, because they really want to live this. And they need to own this. Well, I was just trying to preach this sermon and kind of quickly go over whatever. And he was like, I don't want you to quickly go over, because these are important principles, important truths that they need to own. Not just have heard the words. Yeah, I've heard the words. You've said them before. But own it. Okay? So can we do that together? All right. And because guess what? It's not going to just be me talking. I'm going to stop and ask questions, because that's what I feel like this is. And if y'all want to gather a little closer, you can. You don't have to. You know, maybe it's too hot up here by the fire. You know, I'm being funny. I mean, that's why I'm picturing it. Like we're in a cabin. You know what I mean? You remember, like, being in the cabin? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. No, we can't have s'mores. It's not on our lifestyle. And, well, S days and E days and whatever. I've at least got that. But I don't know what they mean exactly, except for S days are funner than E days. But it doesn't matter. I enjoy any day, because any day I get to put food in my mouth is a good day. Okay? When God says let's fast, I'm like, does that mean we get to go quick somewhere? Or, because I hope it doesn't mean we aren't going to do that eating thing again. You know, because, okay. So, Lord, what we want is we just want you. And we want your truth that you want us to get. So, Lord, I was just trying to overview or go through it. It just hasn't been flying. And I'm like, why, Lord? And you're like, because there are so many truths here that need to be digested, internalized, thought on, meditated on, so that they could get planted, that seed of truth could get planted in our spirits to bring forth fruit unto Jesus. And I believe everybody in here would say, that's what I want. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, 1 Samuel 15. And we're not going to read the whole chapter today, but we're going to start with verse 1, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 1. I've started there before, but we're going to go verse by verse. And as we go verse by verse, we're just going to talk about things, and we'll get as far as we get. And I don't know what time we started, so I try to be conscious of that. Though some people think I probably don't. But I am trying to be conscious of that. Okay, 1 Samuel 15. Samuel, now he's the man of God, said unto Saul, he's the king that God had set up through Samuel. So Samuel, the man of God, said unto Saul, the king, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. What do you get out of that? I ask you to read it this week. What do you get? What do you see in that verse? Just tell me truths you see. What do you see? Exactly. Very good. Yeah, you know what that word hearken means? Means to, hang on, I have it a different way. Hearken means, where is it? Must be the next verse. Wow. It means to prick your ears, like to pay attention on purpose. To hear intelligently. We hear flippantly. A lot of things. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of noise in our society. There's a lot of noise. So we have to kind of rule out or block out noise. Because there's a lot of noise, a lot of voices. If you go online, man, people are so full of opinions. Blah, 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 blah. I can't stand it. I can't stand Rush Limbaugh, for example. He'll say there's good stuff in what he says, but I can't. I tried before. I've tried a number of times through the years to listen to him, but I couldn't. And one of the reasons, because, see, I can't stand somebody else doing my thinking for me. I'm going to give an account for my life. You're not giving an account for my life. I don't want all your thinking in me. I want God's thinking in me. So I hang out with him and I listen to him. I can't listen to have that radio going all the time. You know what I'm saying? Because it gets in the way. I like to, the last couple of Sundays when I came, I hope nobody takes offense, but I brought my little headphones. I would have brought them today, except I only forgot. But I brought them because when I'm over there and I'm at that table, man, it's like when I come in this building and I go to pray or whatever, it's just like it's a sweet spot with God for me, okay? And it's hard when people come in, even if they're keeping their voices down, I can hear all these voices, and it distracts. I'm easily a distracted person. I have ADHD almost off the charts, okay? I know by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. But what I'm saying is that I've got all this stuff that I have to deal with on a regular basis, and I've learned things that help me to cope better, you know? And one of them is to cut the noise out. So I have two sets of earphones, not because I have four ears, but I have one in my office because Janaya will and Sue will come back to the house sometimes, and okay, and so I put those on so I can't hear them so I can do my job, and then the other one I have out in the living room because sometimes it'll be that's where I read my Bible, and then if Sue is talking or talking on the phone, I don't want to hear all that. What do you see in this verse, verse 1? Yes, sir. He actually had already given him the king, okay? And he's saying, you got to do it my way. Yep.
What I was getting to is, this is my people.
Right.
So you got to be the leader over my people. So what I say goes, not what you say.
Very good. Very good. Yes, sir?
Well, he was instructing King Saul to do a really hard thing and utterly destroy the Amalekites. Not a man, woman, child, no cattle, no nothing. And he said, I know this is going to be hard for you. And that's why he's telling them twice, you've got to do this.
Right.
And there's a background reason that we don't need to
know right.
that. But to go through an ugly wipe out off the face of the planet, a people group.
Right. What else? Yes, sir? Very good. So it's not going to be people run. Very good. Exactly. Right. Right. That's right. Right. What else? These are all good stuff. Yes, sir? If it's okay with your mom and dad. Very good. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. 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 Anything else? These are just thoughts God gave me and some questions that we need. I feel like God wants us to ask ourselves, okay? First thought is the whole thought of you are God and I am not. Can we just discuss that for a minute? What does that mean? What do you think about that saying? You are God and I am not. And not talking about to a person, I'm talking about to him, the person of God. It's not just a statement. That's true. What? Discuss it. Yes, sir?
The scripture makes it clear that in a couple of places, Paul writes, I am a bond servant to Christ. And being a bond servant means that I have to lay down my will. As like an ambassador. Peter talks about being an ambassador. references means that as a bondservant, you don't have the right to say no. Just like an ambassador, when he is going to another head of state, the ambassador can only say or do what the head of his state tells him to say or do.
Exactly. Exactly. That's good. What else? You're God and I am not. What do you think about that? He's in control, I am not. Very good. What else? We cannot be greater than him in any way. I like that. Nate? In every environment, there's a protocol. That's what he's setting up for us. That's exactly right. There's a protocol. There's a way to act. There's a way not to act. Okay? When you go outside that protocol, you're opening up to consequences that could happen. I restated it the same way, basically. Yes, sir?
God has a plan. We just got to be part of that plan. Just being part of that plan, just following that plan. We do what the plan. So
the suit plan. Wow. That is so awesome. Do you hear what he said? Okay, so let's look at our own lives. You are God, and I am not. You are God, and I'm not. That means we don't get to vote on it. I don't get to question it. It's not my will. It's your will. It's not my plan. It's your plan. I don't get to change it. It has to be within God's parameters. What else? Anybody else want to say anything? I'm glad. Okay. Can you say it out loud, though?
Another way.
Can you stand up? Because you talk kind of quiet. That's okay. You need a mic?
Another way to look at it, just another angle, is it's God's way also of inviting you into a relationship.
Yes, sir, it is.
So it's like, I was thinking about a verse that you quoted last week, you know, like, if you love me, then you will obey my commandments.
Right, keep my commandments. Right.
So, in that, in this particular thing here, God's inviting us into a relationship. And if you stay close to Him, if you hear me, if you stay within my protocol, my parameters, then this is how it's going to go.
Right.
In a relationship.
Exactly. Good. Very good. Say a little louder. Right. Exactly. Let me give you a few questions that, if any of them stick out to you, I wrote down. What is the foundation of our beliefs? In other words, what is it we base our beliefs on? Why do we believe what we believe? And if somebody asks you what you believe, what would you tell them it's based on? Where could you show it to them? Not just broad-based, like the day I got saved and I went door-to-door asking somebody to tell me how to get to Jesus. And I would say, they would start giving me their opinions. And I handed them a Bible. I'm not even saved. And I would hand them a Bible and say, could you please show me in here that answer? And nobody would touch the Bible. I remember one person did. They took it and they thumbed through. They went, brrr. Well, it's in there somewhere. That didn't help me. I had to keep going from door to door for 5 hours till I found somebody that could open the Word of God and begin to show me. And they would say, I don't even know the answer to your question, but the Bible says. And when they started reading and quoting the Bible in here, I knew they had what I was looking for because they were taking me to the Word. You don't have to know everything. What verse comes to your mind? You pray when you're talking to somebody. What verse comes to your mind? Give that to them. That may not even make sense to you or to them. Give it to them. It's not going to hurt them. It's a seed of truth. And it may be exactly what they need. Because God, you've yielded your life to God and said, God, I don't know what Lisa needs, you know, but she's asking me a question. And is there something, a verse, you know? And then he'll bring a verse, and you may not know where it is, but maybe you remember how it reads, like, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And you share that with them. Well, where is that? I don't know, but I will find it, and I will let you know next time. And then do it. Find it. So you can give them the reference. So they are hanging their coat, the coat of their life, on a hook. You know what I mean? They're trusting on the Word of God, not trusting in the Word of Lisa or Harvey. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So what is the foundation of our beliefs? What is our foundation of what we think is absolute truth? We think we have these absolute truths. Well, this is absolutely true. Well, what's the foundation of that? Because a lot of stuff that people think is absolutely true, they got from TV. They got from a school teacher. They got from a personality. They got from their parents. What? Yeah, parents. And that's where a lot of them, they'll think because their mom and dad said the same thing all the time, that makes it true. It doesn't make it true. A minor bird says probably want a cracker doesn't mean he wants one. Okay? It's just somebody said that, and he says it a bunch of times. You see what I'm saying? It's not just saying that. So what is the foundation of what we think is absolute truth? Where did you get it? What is truth based on? Now, here's the question. Are we willing to line up our lives with the Word of the Lord exactly? Are we willing to line up our lives with the Word of the Lord exactly? Not, well, it's like darts. I hit the dartboard. I'm in the general area of that verse. You know, this is what I use as my foundation. I know I ended up over here, but I'm in the general area. I'm kind of giving God what he wants, you know. Like between tithing and tipping. You know what I'm saying? Well, I put money in every week, but are you tithing? So when God showed me in Proverbs chapter 2, what is that, verses 9 and 10, you know, I don't remember how it says it now. I know it by heart. But anyway, and he showed me, what he showed me was, Harvey, I don't want you just to give based on what you bring home. He said, because Uncle Sam's already had his hands in it. He said, I want you to give based on what you make the gross before you bring it home. I'm like, well, that would increase my tithing about 25%, Lord. And back then, man, I'm just like, how can I do that? And he's like, well, how can you do it? You're not making it anyway. And I'm like, okay. He said, prove me. So we had to prove him. That's just an example. It's just an easy example. Not because I'm worried about it. I don't, whatever. Are we willing to line up our lives? I'm sorry. Are we willing to examine our lives with the Word of God? Exactly. Line up, examine. Examine would come first, I guess, but line up our lives with the Word of God. And how about any area of our life? Every area of our life. Okay? Do you know what it is to be self-righteous? Let me give you an idea of self-righteous. People that are wicked, we wouldn't consider them self-righteous, would we? But they are, because they already have their own value system of what they think is right and wrong. Self-governing. Oh, I like it. They are self-governing. So they have their own standard of what's right or wrong. It's okay for me to live with a girl, and it's okay for me to leave her if she gets pregnant, you know, but it's not okay for me to kill somebody. But this is okay, but this isn't okay. See, when I was a drug dealer, it was okay to be a drug dealer. I was fine. I didn't have any problem. But it wasn't okay to steal, and it wasn't okay to lie, and it wasn't okay to wet down the stuff to make it heavier to sell more, to get them high on one thing and sell them something of lower quality, you know, give them something of lower quality. I didn't do what other people did. I didn't steal. I did it because I had pain. I didn't know how to deal with pain. But I was self-righteous. I had my own standard of righteousness. We do that. We have our own standard of righteousness. It's not in here yet, so I'll keep my mouth shut because we're not there yet. Is the Lord, big question. Is the Lord positioned correctly in our minds, hearts, and lives? Is the Lord positioned correctly in our hearts, minds, and lives? What does that mean? You are God and I am not. What about when he says, I want you to do something that you don't want to do? What I'm saying is, okay, what if he said, I want you to be accountable. I want you to be under authority. I want you to submit. Whoa. I've got my own ideas on that. I'm self-righteous. I've already got that figured out. And you're not going to take me somewhere and... You see what I'm saying? You are God and I am not. I'm giving you a clue. Are you ready? When we get defensive, angry, want to straighten somebody out, want to justify and explain why we're doing and why you don't have any right to tell me anything. What does all that sound like? Does that sound like sweet Jesus to you? Does that sound like humble Jesus to you? What does it sound like? Flesh? What else does it sound like? Huh? Pride? What else does it sound like? Self-righteousness? What else does it sound like? Everything you're saying, I don't have an answer I'm going to. I'm just... It sounds like us, doesn't it? Whoa, self-focus. Can I tell you one of the biggest things? Okay, do you want to live... Children... Do you want to live in the kingdom of pride, or do you want to live in the kingdom of humility?
Humility.
Right? Okay. But do you find yourself battling with pride and anger and self-righteousness and defensiveness and getting offended and wanting to tell everybody what you think? And do you find yourself doing that? Okay. Then there's some things that if we do them, God will use them to develop humility in us. Okay? The very first one is, who am I under? I need to be under authority. When we started this church, of course it was against my will, but we started this church, God was dealing with me, first about me, but a lot of what I've learned in the ministry is by being in the ministry is seeing what not to do. You understand? I don't want to use people. I've seen it too much. I'm the pastor. You serve me. You know what I mean? I want to serve you. That doesn't mean at food fellowship to go around and pour everybody coffee like I saw one of my pastors do all the time, and that was how he served people. I'm sorry. Okay, you may do that at food fellowships, but all the rest of the time it's all about serving you. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that because that's not my Jesus. I want to be like my Jesus. First thing we need to do is be under authority. So when we started this, one of the things I said is I want to be, because God told me, I want you to resign from who you have as authority over you. He said, because that's not who I have for you now. He said, you put yourselves under them. That's fine. He said, but now that time. So I thought he was going to put us under somebody else. I said, who are you going to put me under, Lord? Because I've always been under authority. And he goes, I can't put you under anybody. Because there's nobody on the planet that will release you to do what I want you to do. And I argued with God. I'm like, but God, I got to be under authority. And I'm giving him all these verses and as if God didn't know, you know. Like I'm going to help God figure this out, you know. Like, God, you must have forgot this part, you know. And that's why when we started this, any of you that have been around here any amount of time know that I say, I want to be accountable to you. That doesn't mean that you run my life. That doesn't mean you're my boss. What it means is, that doesn't mean you're supposed to have a critical attitude or spirit. What it means is, we're talking as a family, right? What it means is, if I'm the dad and you're the kids, let's just use that scenario, okay? What does a kid do with the dad if they see the dad doing something wrong? What does the wife do? See, nagging doesn't work, okay? I mean, it does, but it doesn't work the way you want it to work, okay? Because God's the only one who can get away with nagging. What do? First of all, you need to take them to God. You need to pray for them. You see me doing something, you need to begin to pray for me. Things I do, God, please open his eyes. I've had people come bring a seat. Pastor, would you sit down? I sit down. Have we not started services off where they're, confronting me about something in my life that I don't see. And every time I'm like sitting there going, Lord, I don't see it. He said, do you want to see it? I'm like, yeah, if it's there, I want to see it, but I don't see it. And so every time I would say, please pray for me because I want to see the truth. If this is true, I want to see it, but I don't see it. We need to be open. We need to be teachable. It's in my notes somewhere. Who do we allow to speak into our lives? Who do we invite to speak into our lives? And then when they speak, what do we do with it? Argue. Our natural tendency is immediately to defend ourselves because we've already doing what we think is right. So we've already got this standard of righteousness. We're already self-righteous. We're already thinking, I'm doing right. I'm doing what I know. But our critics are the unpaid guardians of our soul. Our critics are put there to help us, bring stuff to our attention. If you invite somebody to speak in your life, there's people I know that invite other people to speak in their lives because they won't ever speak in their lives. They're too passive. They won't confront. They won't offend. Oh, no, I just won't say anything. No, tell me. No. So they think they're doing okay. But they won't ask other people to speak in their lives because they'll tell them. And they don't really want to hear. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to be accountable. Okay? All right. Go ahead, please. Everybody doesn't have access or authority to speak into your life. Who has God put you with? Who's your sphere of influence? Right. No, he doesn't. Exactly. That's why he said, is the Lord positioned correctly in our hearts, minds, and lives? Is he our God? That means, is he the one we're following? Is he the one that's Lord over us? A long time ago, he had me memorize Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We say, Lord Jesus, Master, Boss, one who calls the shots, who's got the hands on the steering wheel of our lives. I'll tell you another, if it's about what I think, what I want, and what I feel, then it's not about Jesus. It's all about me. Is God positioned correctly in our minds, in our choices, in our hearts? Are we positioned correctly? You are God and I am not. I have no right to question you. I have no right to say no. I have no right to try to figure an alternative that would still please you. You know, try to do something kind of in the area. I hit the dartboard. I have no right. Not if he's God. Okay? Verse 2. Anybody else want to say anything on that? Yes, ma'am. You know, right now, okay, if you would have asked me that not long ago, I would have had this answer, right, that I've had for a long time. But I'm going through something probably because of you and Tom, trying to discern maybe there's something I'm not seeing, okay? And a little light that I have on it that I got either this morning or yesterday is this. What realm does somebody have authority over you? For example, let me use a very pertinent example, okay? Let's say there's a couple. Now they're married. I'm their pastor, okay? And they come and say, there's something we feel like God's doing in our marriage. And because of that, we're making choices that affect what we do at church or something. Okay, let's just say there was something like that, right? Now, me, I was going, but God, I don't see that. And he's like, but they... This is the light I got either yesterday or today, is like, but you're not over their marriage. You're there as they bring their marriage unto you to speak into it, to help them, to help develop them, give them boundaries, give them counsel, blah, blah, blah. Pray for them, love them, help train up their kids, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the husband is the head of the wife. And the realm of authority there. He said, I didn't make the pastor the head over that marriage. You understand? So there's things that they may decide. Now, if they came and they asked me, then it's my duty to pray. And this is how Sue and I tried to do it. I don't know if, look, we, We've never claimed to be perfect that I know of. There's a lady at the bank. She claims to be perfect. And she does it jokingly, but she is like, anyway. But we're not perfect, but our goal, and has been our goal for probably, I don't know, to over 10 years, easy. I don't want to say 20 or 30 because I can't tell you. But for the longest time that I know of, it's been our way of life. We don't want any will of our own. Because we know outside of God, we're just like everybody else. We've got selfish motivations, selfish thoughts, opinions, feelings, things people have heard us, all this stuff that influences. So whenever we go to talk to somebody, we lay it down, especially if we're going to meet with them. There's a meeting we're going to have with them. But we try to do it with every conversation. But we lay down our wills. We lay down our rights. We say, God, what do you want to say? So I do want you to understand something. When we say something to you, knowing Sue and knowing myself, if I was a betting Baptist, I'd put money on it that it was God. I wouldn't vote against it for nothing. So if my wife says something to me, I'm maybe getting off your thing a little bit here, but I feel like I'm supposed to say this. It's just flowing. If my wife says something to me, like when God told me to come to Grand Rapids, and then he confirmed it through two different witnesses, and it's like I knew. And then Sue and I went and got a hotel to pray, to discern, what do you want us to do next? And I knew God wanted us to move to Grand Rapids. It was 1987, 89. And Sue was, I do not want to move to Grand Rapids. I don't want to move anywhere. I want to be by my kids and blah, blah, blah. You know, be the grandma and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you deal with her, Lord. I can't win this one. You know, you deal with her. So I didn't say anything. And God dealt with her. And on the third day, she said, we both know God wants us to move to Grand Rapids. But she had to go through a lot of tears and a lot of breaking and a lot of whatever. Well, when my wife said, I don't want to move to Grand Rapids, then I went back and said, God, you interrupted me. You just stepped out of glory and said to me, this is the church I want you joining. You've been telling me for a year, and we've preached all over America, and I've asked you every church, do you want us to go here? Do you want us to go here? Nope, this isn't the one. And then when we came to Grand Rapids, Sunday morning, preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, back at the hotel, this is the church I want you to join. I'm like, if it is, you tell them. I ain't going to tell them. And so 2 days later, the pastor and assistant pastor came to me. We feel like God wants you to join here, and we're going to buy you a motorhome and blah, blah, blah. And I said, great, we'll pray about it. I didn't tell them God already told me that. And then on Friday night, all the people of the church gathered around us crying, praying, don't leave us. We want you to stay here, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, we're going to pray about it. We'll see what God wants. I didn't tell them. I already knew that's what God wanted. And then when my wife said, no, I do not want to move here. And I'm like, okay, Lord, my wife said it. My wife hears from God. I'm going to wait. Even back then, he was teaching me to wait. I'm going to wait. Because my Bible says, I'm trusting in your word, remember? And your word says, Proverbs 21:1, the heart of the king or the queen is in the hands of the Lord. As the rivers of water, you turn it any way you want. You deal with her, Lord. It is you. You deal with her. I'll push her into your court. Now you deal with her. I just sit over here, read my Bible, pray, and be peaceful, you know. But I kept questioning myself. God, I thought you said you wanted us to come, but I'm not going to drag her like I've seen other pastors do. I'm not going to do that. I said, if this is where you want her, then you move on her heart. But I'm not going to move until we have peace. Okay? Now, would you restate your question? I want to make sure I answer it. Correct. Correct.
And if disobeying man is disobeying what God's telling you to do, you obey God.
Of course. Yep. You gotta, okay. All right. It depends on what realm it's under. For example, if it was something at church, for example, let me use a different illustration. Let's say we're doing a service and somebody feels like they're supposed to come up and take over. But they don't come to me. They don't come to Sue. They don't go to anybody, but God led me. No, He did not position you to overthrow the existing authority. You always obey authority unless in so doing you disobey God. But God led me. I'm sorry. Some people have felt lead poisoning. I felt lead. No, you're just poisoned. If God is leading you, it's always going to be within the Word of God. He doesn't contradict His Word. So when God positions authority, then we have to submit to that authority. But what if I feel like God wants me to help do something in the service or something? Then you need to go to that authority and you need to ask them. We're under the realm of church order, okay? Right. Then you're under His authority. Right. Right. Believe me. I can't even imagine. You know? No. It's not Tom. I cannot imagine being a woman being under a man. Because most men are so knuckleheaded. I mean, we are. Okay? I didn't mean to get a rise out of the, you know. Go ahead. Stand, please.
That's why it's so important, protocol.
Explain protocol, what you mean by protocol.
It's the proper conduct in the
environment. All right. Do you understand what he just said?
So I was going to use the example.
Go ahead.
When I was a law enforcement officer, I am a county sheriff. I do not have authority to go to another county
right.
to enforce my law.
Right. Right.
So you need to know protocol.
Where your boundaries are.
I have all the power of arrest of the law, but I cannot overstep.
You only have a certain jurisdiction. Right.
Right. So, and it goes right up the chain of command. I know that's being abused today. We won't go there. But the federal government does not have the authority to make a state law.
Right. Right.
So that's why it's important to know protocol. What's the proper procedures within my jurisdiction?
Right.
Influence.
Right.
That's on the other side of the constituency. That's why we can't go out and take in things from others that may have no proper authority in our life.
Right.
Because now we're messed up. We come back here and we go, that's what they're doing.
Right.
No,
that's what they're teaching. I didn't want to go there. I wasn't trying to go there. When, basically, you've shared things with Sue of what God's showing y'all, blah, 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 okay? I was going, that don't bear witness for me. I just, blah, 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 right? And I just was been all troubled for a long time, right? I'm telling you, I've only just seen some light yesterday or today, whichever it was, okay? It was yesterday. And because I prayed and prayed and God, but you see, we have a hard time laying down what we think and what we feel and what we expect. And we don't, and what we may believe, now what God helped me to understand was, Harvey, what you believe is exactly right. But it's in the wrong jurisdiction. You see what I'm saying? But I didn't understand that because I see the blend, you know, all I could see was the blend, you know, the jurisdictions. I wasn't seeing church, home. You understand? And I didn't get that. And, but like what he said, county sheriff here, he has no authority to arrest people or whatever over here. I mean, he could do a citizen's arrest, but you know what I'm saying? He doesn't have that authority. Well, we don't have authority except where God gives us authority. But what we need to do is, before you can be a minister or a leader, you have to learn to be a follower. And to be a good leader is not, I mean, light that I have so far, is that, okay, I've been a good follower. I don't have a problem doing that. I would rather do that. I'd rather have somebody over me, okay, than the way it is. I would rather have it. It would be easier. It was a whole lot easier. And there's many times I just want to turn to somebody and ask them a question. But I don't have that person. God won't let me have that person. And I keep every now and then trying to find that person. And God won't let me have that person. And so being the follower is not the problem. It's, okay, Harv, now you need to be the leader. But to be the leader, he said, he that will be greatest among you needs to be servant of all. And in 1 Peter 3:7, it talks to the husband and it says, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. How do you handle your wife? And you can't drive sheep. You have to lead sheep. And my wife was reminding me yesterday of the first church we started in Texas and how I preached. And she wasn't like beating me up or something. But when she reminded me, I was beating me up. I was like, whoa, I remember. And I'm going to drive these sheep, you know. And it's like, it doesn't work. And one of the hardest things, I bet, with God, just think of the meaning of the word, long suffering. Who wants to suffer? And then it's long suffering. And he does that with us. And he's so kind about it. And he allows us to take all the time we need to finally come around to his way just a little bit. Because we don't usually take this big step. We just take a little step. And it's so painful for us because it's against our will and against our comfort zone and against what I think. And God's just like so kind and so patient and so long-suffering. And that's why he's heard me say many times, I'm sorry for causing you to be long-suffering. I don't want to hurt him. So does this answer, did I answer your question?
Yes, you did clarify.
Okay, good. Yes? No, it's a family. I like it.
So I would just use this example. If Billy Graham calls me tomorrow.
Right.
Said, I'd like to come and preach to your church. Say, can you pray? Say, okay. Now, see, Billy Graham, I'm just using him as a figure. You know, as a, like, almighty Billy
Yep.
Graham, or Ben King, or whoever.
Right. Know. It doesn't matter.
See, that's why the pastor, when he comes, turns the service over to him.
Right. That's now what he's supposed to do.
Right. Now he has authority in his place.
Right. Correct. But do you hear that? That's why when we're going and reading other books, listening to other preachers. Go ahead. No, I'd rather you say it than me.
That's why it's so important that when we're flipping through the television, we're watching TV, we're watching whatever.
I don't know. Exactly.
And you're watching 15 programs.
Right.
Listening to 85 different genres of music.
Right.
I won't even go there. But that influences you. And it takes away the protection in your life. Because you have stepped outside.
of your authority appointed by God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Or what he was saying?
And it's not control. It's not about party control.
No.
Or Nate controlling you.
No.
It's about you.
Right. It is. And so that's why I ask you, is God positioned correctly in your mind? Okay. What if somebody... Okay. I'm not... Okay, let me address it a couple of ways, okay, what you just asked, okay? See, I don't have any problem with somebody listening to another sermon or reading a book. I have a problem with somebody feeding elsewhere. Feeding is different than... there's people that we've had come in here that they go from one book to the next, and then everything, whatever they're reading in that book, they come and they want us to do whatever that book, they want to come and change whatever God's doing here. Or I can see it in their life, and they're not allowing what God's trying to do through Burning Bush into their life because, no, this is what this book is teaching me, and this is what this preacher is teaching me. And I'm going, God didn't put you there. Did God put you at Burning Bush? Yes. If you're at Burning Bush, for example, I'm just using Burning Bush because this is for Burning Bush, okay? But, I mean, it could be anywhere. If God put you over to Heritage Baptist, when we were at Heritage Baptist. See, God told me something. Remember I told you when he had me, he wouldn't let me go to church for whatever it was, 4.5 years? I said, God, you got to let me go to church somewhere. And he goes, nope, you can't. He said, because you've learned the secret. I said, what's the secret? He said, you've learned that when you go somewhere and you're not the leader, he said, you lay down your vision, your rights, to pick up their vision, so you get involved as a participant, so you get more out of it. He said, and if I allow you to go to a church, he said, you will lay down your vision that I've given you of where I'm trying to take you, to pick up their vision of what they're about. Maybe it's a soup kitchen. Maybe it's a bike trip to Toronto. Maybe it's a whatever it is. Who knows? You know, it's whatever their vision that they're all rallied around. He said, but that's not what I have for you. So I can't let you go to a church because you'll lay down what I've given you to pick up what they're doing, so that you get more out of it, because he said, you only get out of something what you put into it. He said, you've learned, you've got to be a participant, not a spectator. See, I can't go in a church and just sit there. I have to participate. Even if it's only just sitting in the pew and going, amen, amen, you know, or oh me, or what? Where's that in the Bible? You know, I mean, whatever. I have to say something, because I got to be a participant. You follow me? Because that's how you get something out of it. You know? These Chinese bobbleheads, what does that mean? You know, all you got to do is stick them on your dash and they'll do it. You know, you don't even have to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, really, it's be doers of the word and not hearers only. So I don't have a problem with somebody reading a book. I don't have a problem with somebody listening. But if they're constantly feeding, watch this. Let's say, what if you took the verses? Normally, we give a whole lot of verses. I was telling God I was afraid it was going to go like this, and he said he wanted it to. So please forgive me. And if I'm not doing it right, it didn't go right. It's my fault. I didn't do it right. So please forgive me. I'm just still learning, okay? But let's say you took a sermon here. Let's say you took Sue's Sunday School, and you take it home. And that's the other thing, okay, going back to what you were saying. If you are first plugged in where God wants you to be, and you're involved in everything that you could be involved in, okay, and you're taking those notes. I love that, like Tom, ever since we've known him, he always is taking notes. He's always attentive, just like that. He's always sitting on the edge of his seat. He's always doing that. And if you took that and you took those notes and you said, I want to own these, and that became your primary focus, okay, then, number one, somebody probably wouldn't feel a need to be going looking elsewhere because they'd be getting what God has them supposed to be feeding on. But number two, let's say you do this and you spend some time on this and you've meditated on it and you feel like you've got what God wants you to get. Now you got a book? Go ahead, read your book. Now you want to listen to a sermon? Go ahead. But to be listening to the same person, or it wouldn't even matter if it's the same person, but to be listening to people every day, like, that's why I'm not knocking Christian TV or something. It must be for somebody, but it's not for me. And when I see it and hear it in other people, Christian TV and Christian radio, it's like, I just haven't seen the good fruit. I don't see it. You know, it's like God wants us to be planted in the house of God, planted where we're getting our nourishment, where we're putting our roots down, where we're blooming, where we're bringing forth fruit. Okay? I didn't make this up. I just do what it says and I see it, and it's so simple. And then when I watch all this other stuff that America brings in, I go, okay, it may look good, it may sound good, but where's the fruit? Where's God in it? And it's like, what about if God, if he is my dad, I'm supposed to learn from him, and I want to learn from him. God puts it inside of me. But if every day he goes to tell me something, I said, you know, but Rick said we should do it this way. But Rick said we ought to do that. But Rick said what you said is not true. This is true. Now I'm divided. Who am I believing? But where did God plant me? He's my daddy, not him. Do you follow us? What authority are we under? And what does that mean to be under authority? And we want others to be under our authority, but the reason we have problems with them is because we have problems with ourselves because of how we treat the authority that we're under. Does that make sense? None of us have arrived. All of us are learning. All of us are growing. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not trying to I didn't bring this up. Did I? I don't think I did. But did that answer? And so I don't have any problem with somebody reading a book or whatever. But what did we preach on last week? Did you take it home? Did you meditate on it? Did you pray over it? Did you ask God? Did you get stuff from God from it? Are you owning that? You know, how did that impact your life this week? Because if he gave it to you this week, a top fresh man out this week. Okay? So what did I do with it this week? Not, you know, it's got preservatives in it. I keep it, you know, got it from a few weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? Now, line upon line, so it's going to build on each other and all that. But then if it's like you feel like, and then that you got to remember something in Romans chapter 12, I believe it's verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay? The perfect will of God is exactly what God wants. The acceptable will of God, there's the good will of God, what looks good, what seems to be good, maybe even basic principles of what's right or wrong without getting into the specifics. Then there's the acceptable, what God allows. You say, I'm letting the peace of God rule in my heart. But did you tell God what you were going to do and just looking for? I'm not saying you, I'm saying anybody. Are we like saying, God, I want peace over this because this is what I want to do? And it's like God allows you to do it, but do we stop and ask him, is this what you want? That's completely different. Is this what you want? Not, can I do this? God's like, yep. Remember, I told you, he said, I want you to, we resigned our church. I said, what do you want me to do? I want you to give me a gift of waiting. What's that? He tells me. And people started asking me, you know, calling me from around the country to join their church and go on staff, go on TV and all this stuff. And I prayed and said, God, can I do that? And he said, sure, if you want to. That's his permissive will. Sure, if you want to. You can do that. But God, do you want me to? No. No, Harv, I don't want you to. But you can, and I'll be in it a little bit. I said, I've been in what you've been in a little bit. I've done what you've been in a little bit. I want to be on the cutting edge of what you're up to. And he said, for you to be on the cutting edge of what I want to do, you have to give me a gift of waiting. And that means you have to wait. It's like putting you on hold. You like being on hold, Harv? No, I don't. He said, no one else in history ever has either. That's why nobody hasn't done this verse. Because nobody will. He said, but I formed you in such a way so that you'd be foolish enough to do what I want. It doesn't make me good. It just means I don't know why I'm able to wait. And maybe I'm not doing a very good job of waiting. But I, as far as I know, what gets out of me is not near as much as what's inside of me. You know what I mean? If I'm complaining or something, you know what I'm saying? Or words. So let's, does anybody else have anything to say here? Because I want to be done. Right. God's, I just saw it again in my notes. God's way works. Every single time. God allows us to do stuff. I'll just summarize it, say it this way. God allows us to do things, and that's fine. But if you ask him, that's why I keep drawing a line. So I'm double dog daring you. Okay. I don't know if y'all know what that is, but double dog dare you step over the line and ask God, do you want me to do this, Lord? I mean, that means you have to lay it down. You see, this is an ultimate church. This is this is about dying. This is about stripping you naked. This is about not playing games. This is about in your face. This is about getting real and being like Jesus, not just feeling like Jesus and getting some little God bumps and we get to go have glory meetings. This is about, you want to be like Jesus or not? And so what does that look like? How about, it looks like death. It looks like laying your life down for others. It looks like, how about being rejected? How about being misunderstood? How about not having a will of your own? How about not having a life of your own? That's what this is about. I don't know why any of you would stay here. Okay, I don't. I tell God all the time, we are so extreme. Why would anybody stay with us? That's why. That's why I love you to pieces, because that's what you really want. But see, so many people come here and they say it, but they don't really want it. Now, all those little lists that Sue made, it's too hard. What do you mean it's too hard without Jesus? It's just too hard. And I can't have Jesus any other way. I can't go do compromise Jesus because that's not Jesus. That's pseudo-Jesus. In other words, fake Jesus. That's man-made Jesus. I mean, is this true or not? And we know it, right? Man, y'all are as foolish as me. I love it. Repeat the protocol definition.
Protocol is the proper conduct within an environment.
The proper conduct within an environment. You know what? God is so amazing. The first week, I went through about 13 or 14 verses. And then the next week, I thought I was going to go through the next, and okay, we're going to move on, right? Today, we only went through verse 1, you know?
That's...
Amen. Okay, good. I'm glad y'all saying that. So what? We'll do half and two. Just slow it down. Just don't rush to this harp. Okay. Okay, now remember something. Okay, Carson, you want to get this, okay? You know you're under authority if when they tell you something you don't want to hear, you obey. You understand? Let's say it again. If you think you're under authority, but then your leader tells you, whoever God has made your leader, tells you something you don't want to hear, and so you're going to talk about them, you're not going to do it, and who do they think they are, and you're not under authority. You're only under convenient authority. It's only when you agree with them. Being under authority means that you obey the authority even when you don't like it, even when you don't agree. One more time. Within the right jurisdiction. And see, so I'm glad you brought that up because that's God's been, I mean, I just got that light because if it wouldn't have been, it would have been before yesterday. You'd have had a different answer. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I still had my hands on it. It would have been manipulation. And I can't help it because I thought I was right because, you know, but I didn't understand the jurisdiction. It was like, I understand jurisdiction, but I just didn't see it. You know what I mean? I didn't get it. But something in that realm, let's say this, help me. Okay. If God's dealing with you about something, come and talk to us as a couple and say, this is what we feel like God is doing. How should we respond now? What should we do at church or what should we do leadership meeting? What should we do? You know, pray with us on this. I mean, because this is what we think within the realm of our house. You know what I mean? So come and help us because when we just, people just don't show up or say stuff, it's like, it doesn't, I don't know how to, you know what I mean? I'm trying to pray and figure it out, but we haven't had that intercourse talking. You know what I'm talking about?
But I don't think that you would have been open before you had that light.
And that may be true. That may be true. And y'all need to realize that Sue and I have not arrived. There's a lot of stuff we've learned, but we don't know everything. And there's times we're still wrong on stuff. We don't see it. We want to see it. But because we want to see it, he eventually shows it to us. Okay? But.
So like you said, if there's something that in our individual lives we believe the Lord is telling us to do, you don't see it, then what you said we're supposed to do is back up and pray. And
right.
Ask the Lord to open it and reveal it.
Right.
Might we still continue to obey what God has told us?
Right.
And still love you, even
right.
though you might not see it.
Right. And see, just like you want me to love you while you're growing, and give you space, but you need to do the same with us. Don't think that we've arrived just because he's positioned us. It doesn't, I still don't know why. You know, it's like, were you desperate, Lord? What's, why would you put me up here? You know, what? Okay. Wow. You know what? Can we do that next week? Just asking. Well, Lord, I've got another one of those little prickly pears in my life that's going to remind me of stuff and be my accountability partner in public. Thank you, Jesus. I guess I need that. So, Lord, I thought I had just asked you, kind of just drew back and like, what? And it was like, look at the clock and cut him some slack. And, but, Lord, whatever. If you want us to talk about that right now, that's fine. It's not my will but thine. But, Lord, we need your divine wisdom on that. And we are just waiting on you. And we'll do whatever you say, whenever you say it. Thank you, Jesus. And I appreciate prickly pears, by the way. Yeah. Still needs to be in the spirit. Okay. And under authority. But I really appreciate that. So ask the question again. Okay. Okay. All right. I still think we're supposed to discuss it next week. Okay. Is that okay? I mean, I could tell you one thing right off, but I'd rather see. I don't want to tell you something right off. I'd rather wait and pray. Right. I want to say what God says. I want to just say my opinion or.
I have the sense that the Lord wants you to meditate on it for the rest of the week and all of us as well.
Right.
And be able to come back to what God can do rather than just on the spot.
Right. But what, you know what? What's so funny? It just came to me. God was giving me verses that answer that on the way here this morning. And I was going, yeah, Lord, that's in my authority. I got a bunch of verses about under authority, you know, headings, different headings. And I go, yeah, Lord, those verses are in that authority thing. And he just kept bringing it to my mind. I was like, why are you bringing this to my mind, you know? Anyway, go ahead.
I wanted to add something to what you're talking about when we talked about protocol. If you come to your leader in the church, we'll just use this as our thing, and you say, look, I feel like God wants me to do this, and then the leader says, well, I'm not really feeling anything, so I'm going to pray about it. Here's the little golden nugget. Because, see, you're following protocol, God will answer your prayer when you do it in order. And so when nobody knows, don't make the
right
decision and say, well, I'm going to just go off and do it.
Right.
So within that protocol, that sphere, then God will start to answer to the leader. He'll start to answer to the person coming to the leader. But when we just
bypass.
Well, I don't think Harvey's right, so I'm just going to go by this house.
Right. 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 I just need to wait.
So now we all wait.
Right.
Don't move. When in doubt, don't move.
Right.
So that was my name.
That's awesome.
The key is when in doubt. Right.
Right.
But if you're sure, if you're God's because you have to understand what is God's order. Because some people believe God's order is one thing, and other people believe God's order is another thing. So, and it's based both, I believe.
Of course.
No, I'm serious. I mean, but in the light that I am, God has put people in my life to speak to God. So if I come to Harvey and Harvey doesn't know, then I'm going to wait. And even if Harvey comes back, I'm going to wait because Harvey's going to give me 2 days.
Right.
So I'm going to wait. And then Harvey's going to come back and he goes, no, I don't think you should do that. But God's telling me to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now I have to make a decision. Even though Harvey doesn't agree, now I gotta go and say, well, this is really, that's where it becomes a little gray. But I follow the protocol. I follow the chain of command. And that's what I'm saying. It's the principle of. Now, even if I don't agree with Harvey, and he tells me, then I go, okay, now I gotta wait a minute because I'm not agreeing with him. And I don't think that's the same.
God has told me to do things, and like, let's say at Burning Bush, and you told me to do something, felt like I was supposed to do it, and my wife, let's say, positioned somebody, for example, and my wife says, let's pray about that. I have a check in my spirit, whatever. Then I wait on what I wait. And then it's like God brings both of us to peace, but it may take a few days or a few weeks. But he brings us. Just like when we have had leadership meetings and we pray about things for a long period of time. You know what I mean? And then it's like we all come to peace when we go and ask God, what is God saying? We take that 20 or 30 minutes and we're all writing down stuff. You know how it always seems to go like this? Except me. You know, and that's why I always have to defer. Okay. You know what I'm talking about in the leadership meetings? You know what I'm talking about? It always seems to go like this. All of us come in agreement. Well, ask any other pastor, except for where they have yes men. You don't have that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because you have strong-willed. So when you say, I just want to make sure for your sake that it's not like Jen or you or me, for example, are real strong-willed people. Okay, outgoing, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Prickly. Prickly pears, okay? I just bought this little urchin. And I've got two urchins. One's got that real long spines, you know, my salt tank. And the other one's got little spines, about that big. But I just bought one, like, a couple days ago. And he looks like a little prickly pear. He's just like this little round guy with, like, little, almost like fuzz sticking out of him. He's just real cool. I don't know why I told you that. But anyway, prickly pear. Okay. Just make sure, just going an extra step, God, is this what you want? You know what I'm saying? And if we're willing to lay it down, if it's God, he'll give it back to us. But if we're not willing to lay it down, it may just be his permissive will. He may allow us to do it, knowing that we're going to learn something or grow through the long run, or just he's going to suffer along with us. You know what I'm saying? I just want to make sure we throw that in there as a qualifier to what you said. Otherwise, I can agree with what you said. Anybody? Anybody?
Ezekiel 14:4 is a very important verse to understand. It talks about the idols of the heart and how God will answer our prayer according to the idols of our heart if we're not willing to lay them down. It might be wise to look at that verse and understand it.
Awesome. Thank you. Mr. Brother that would step forward and say something. Thank you. Anybody else? Are we done? Did you get anything that could help you? You want to say something?
Well, it's like the foundation. Where are we at in the first place? It's not about us. It's not about men and following this man following this thought, following that. It's who is our cornerstone?
Right.
Who do we stand on? We look at God first, Jesus Christ. That's where our foundation's at. And then he'll put everything in place, and we just got to follow the place he puts it into.
Right. Can I just share a thought with you that God spoke it into me through Sue some years ago in a way, and then he quickened it, and I hear myself saying it all the time in the way that I own it, and that's this. I have people say to me every day, you're right. Because I witness to people and then they'll go and I'll say things that are truths and they go, you're right. And I always say, no, I'm not right. God's right. And I just happen to be in agreement this time. Now, I'm not saying that to be funny or have another little retort. Okay. I'm saying that because when you think you're right, don't miss this. When you think you're right, you're going to get full of pride. when you think you're right, you're going to be full of pride. But when you realize you happen to have light, that you're in agreement with a truth, then it's the truth that's right. You're not right. Because the rest of my life I realized I'm wrong about a lot of stuff, but I never knew that before because I was right about a lot of things. But I was self-righteous and I was very proud and I did not understand that. And I kept battling pride and I couldn't understand why. And what I'm saying is, you're never right. God's always right. And we need to agree with Him. Does that make sense? And when you do that, it helps you to become, it's a tool God will use to work in your life to help you be humble. To create humility in you. Where you're not, I'm right. I'm going to straighten you out. I'm God's gift to you. You know? Okay? Are we good? Anybody else? Yes, sir. What are you up to, God? You feel like I want you to... Okay. Anybody else? Are we done? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this family meeting. I thank you for my family. You are so awesome, Father. Lord, may you... Holy Spirit, may you take these words we've heard and those that were of you, truth. We want you to plant them deep inside of our spirit. Then begin to reveal to us lies and false beliefs and misunderstandings and perversions of teachings or applications. So that as they come to our surface, we can break agreement with them and get them out of the way. So there's nothing that's going to obstruct or block the growth of this seed of truth that you just gave us, or these seeds of truth, because we want them to bring forth fruit to the glory, honor, and praise the blessed Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that privilege of praying through you, Jesus. Thank you for what you made available. Amen.